It is so good for us to come together to worship and to open scripture so that we may learn and so that we can grow in our knowledge and understanding, so we can learn more of who God is, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Endeavoring to bring context and understanding to scripture for the time that it was written and for the purpose that it was written, as well as opening ourselves up, allowing scripture to speak to us today, to our everyday circumstances, and maybe for those other times that are not so ordinary. For many of us, I imagine, our deep learning and leaning into God takes place in our own personal times with God in our own unique ways, when we go to that certain place to be with Him, allowing the truth and teaching of Jesus to permeate into the very core of our beings. The reading of Scripture, both before and after the days of Jesus, was always done in community. Whether it was at the temple or at the synagogue or around the table, was always done in the company of others. There was the understanding that one's belief and faith in God was more than just understanding with one's mind. It was something that involved every part of your being, all of your senses, and that it would impact every part and every area of your life. So that as the word was read, people took personal as well as corporate responsibility to learn and to understand and to put into practice what they were hearing. Now this morning, rather than one of us explaining a passage or a topic of scripture, we're going to take a little bit of a different approach. We are going to give space for the word to minister to us personally, an opportunity between you and God to commune or converse with one another. And we're going to be looking at the well-loved Psalm, Psalm 23, not just to read it, but to allow it to read us. So often with well-known scriptures, we can allow the richness of life that they contain to pass us because of their familiarity. So today we will read together the verses of Psalm 23. And we're going to give space around each verse for the words which are God-breathed, which reveal truth to us, exposes our rebellion, corrects our mistakes, and trains us to live God's way, along with questions that will be asked to speak to us individually, yet within community. The beauty of the Word of God and the revelation of the Spirit is that no matter where we might find ourselves at present, whether we are feeling full of the joy of the Lord, or we're facing confusion and pain and doubt, we're not feeling anything at all. The beauty of it is that it can and it does speak to us, to the very core of our being as we allow it to. It's our prayer every single week that we will all encounter God or meet with Him in a new way, in a deeper way that speaks to us. So as this morning unfolds, and if this feels a little bit different to you, can I encourage you to try to lean into it, to experience something new with God? So how we're going to do this is that as a slide comes up, we will say the verse together. Then there will be someone who will come up and speak to that verse, and again, giving space for you to contemplate, to think, to pray. There will be questions asked for you to consider with God. For one of those verses, we will take communion together. Now, I do ask that if you cannot see or are unable to read what is on the screen, that you will ask someone beside you to help you. So our first verse is Psalm 23, verse 1. Let's say this together. The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. Now those who belong to the Lord, to the one that you may call God, Father, Saviour, Jesus, have him as the ultimate provider. And this verse invites us to believe that because the Lord is our shepherd, we can trust him that we will be taken care of, that we will have everything we need. Jesus is our Lord. He is our shepherd. And in this psalm, written by David, he places us, those who follow Jesus, to be his sheep. While many say that sheep are not the smartest, and therefore we are like that too, this is not at all what David is suggesting. It is believed that David wrote the psalm not while he was a young shepherd, but as an older man. And so in this particular verse, he identifies that the Lord is the shepherd, and we are his sheep, and because of that, we are dependent on him. Reflecting on his life, David has known and experienced God's protection and provision, helping him fight those bears and lions, helping him against the Philistine giant, Goliath, giving him victory over Israel's enemies. God had kept him safe numerous amounts of times against Saul's attempts to his life. And so it goes on. He has known the faithfulness, the graciousness, the forgiving love that a shepherd has towards his sheep. David, having known what it was like to be a shepherd, to care for the sheep under your care, that those sheep depend on you for protection and provision. So he can, with boldness and confidence, declare, "The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing." So let's take a moment now to reflect and then acknowledge to God with gratitude those times that he has protected you and provided you for you over the years. Now, knowing the goodness and faithfulness of God over your life so far, let's take another moment to bring before God those areas, maybe those situations you are currently facing, where you are seeking and needing his protection or his provision. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing.
So as Kate has explained, we're going to read this next verse together. So why don't we read it now together? He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. So the intimation is that Jesus is the shepherd and that we are the sheep. And these are not the only verses in the Bible that liken us to sheep, for good reason. Now, as Kate has said, it's not because God thinks we're stupid. However, there is a need for us to see our need of him and to seek to habituate ourselves to be more reliant on him in our lives. If you've ever tried to manage sheep, you will know, as I do, that managing them to go in a certain direction can be very challenging. Because though they are not stupid, they have a mind of their own, don't they? And so Isaiah the prophet too observes this when he says, "We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us have turned to our own way." And that is our human tendency, is that we can like to do it our own way, thank you very much. But for those of us who are able to say, the Lord is my shepherd, this is actually to delight in God's will. And it is a pleasure to be directed by his goodness and walk in that will. See, the good shepherd, he actually knows our real needs. And because he does, he knows the deep, deep longings of our hearts. And those longings can be, I guess, summed up in a couple of words. I think all of us long for safety and peace, to dwell in that place of safety and peace. But the paradox of it is that though we long to experience that kind of rest, don't we? We can often sabotage the very thing that we need. And instead, we find ourselves in a place of restlessness. These words reflect a place of rest, green pastures where we are able to lay our cares down, that we are able to quieten ourselves by those still waters. And Jesus' invitation as our good shepherd is this. He says, come to me, get away with me, and you will recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. So for a moment, I want to encourage us to become willy-minded, to think of ourselves, as the psalmist does, of being like sheep. That's not to say that we're stupid, but we have tendencies like sheep do, and they are flight and fight. So these questions that I want to put us before us today concern these two things. Firstly, flight. What is it that can cause you to take flight, where you start to become evasive towards God? So let's just pause for a moment. Perhaps close your eyes and just think about the things, the ways in which you are going away from God rather than towards his rest. I wonder if some of these words may crop up in your thinking. Ways of feeling guilty, of feeling fearful, of being anxious, or feeling ashamed. The thing is that God is the safest person to whom you can take those feelings, because he loves us that much, that he wants us to experience his peace, his rest, and he forgives and he restores our souls if we go to him with those very things. But maybe it's your tendency in small or even larger ways to fight that, to resist him. And in that sense, we can be like a sheep who takes their ground, stares right back at the person in front of them and stamps their foot and says, I'm not going to give up this ground to you, God, because I am unwilling to relinquish it to your good and perfect will for my life. And if that resonates with you, I want you to take a moment and pause and think, how am I resisting God? What is the ground in my life that I'm unwilling to relinquish to his good and pleasing will? See, letting go and letting God can be a real struggle for all of us, for me, and I'm guessing for you as well. Because at its heart, it assumes that God doesn't have something better for us. We don't believe that the exchange will be a fair one, but it is more than fair. In fact, it's generous. See, if we have a stone in our hand, the Father offers to give us bread. If we lay hold of a snake, then he will give us a fish. Hay and stubble he replaces with a green pasture. In our raging seas, he can still the waters of our souls. But we need first to come to him, our good shepherd.
Let's read this together. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Now, the good shepherd doesn't call us to walk along paths of righteousness so that we'll be successful or respected or admired. He calls us to righteousness for his name's sake. Yes, our personal holiness blesses us and others, but ultimately it honours God. Let's take a moment to reflect on God's invitation to walk in holiness. Jesus is Lord of our lives. Jesus is Lord of my life. Let's consider how we might choose righteousness today for his name's sake. I'm going to encourage you to look at the screen up here, and there will be questions and statements for you to reflect upon. And as I said, if you're unable to read it or see it, then please ask someone to read it to you. Read together the next verse. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Lynn, would you like to come up now?
When all is stripped back and your life is laid bare, when you are cast down and subject to fear, do you call on his name and ask him to restore your life and your love that you held before? In your times of desperation, when all seems to be lost, and you struggle through your day, counting the cost, do you fall to your knees, bowing your head in shame, asking him for his mercy, that he might remember your name? If your life holds no colour, everything bleak and grey, do you turn to the Lord to steady and strengthen your day? Do you hold out your hand and ask him to draw near, trusting his presence will forever be right there? His message is the rock which will keep you from strife if you make the Lord the center of your daily life. In my times of greatest challenge, I will call out your name. Lord, help me to practice tolerance and mercy, though my life may never be the same. When it seems the world rains down upon me, and I am surrounded, battered in life's storm, I still shout your name and raise my hands, for my belief will not be torn. I will not forget to praise you. You will be my beacon in the darkest night. Take my hand, Lord, in times of trial, and walk me back into your blessed light.
Let's say this next verse together. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. So the table speaks of a place where we can be safe. Safe enough to sit and eat, even with all the things that surround us, that distract us, that disturb us, that cause us distress. At this table, he anoints our heads with oil and our cup overflows. At the table is all that we need for whatever season of life we may find ourselves in. Safety and protection, his presence and his abundance. Let's take a moment to consider and to give thanks for those times when you have known God's safety and protection, that you have known his presence and you have experienced the overflow of his blessings. And as we come to communion, as we receive it together, let us consider what it is that we may need from God this morning. It may be forgiveness, it may be grace, it may be love, it may be wisdom, or something really personal and significant to you. And let us exchange our lack for his good and his sufficiency in Jesus Christ. And let us celebrate his generosity.
Let's read these verses together now. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forevermore. And this is our assurance, isn't it? As we make the Lord our shepherd, we know that he has been with us, that he is with us, and that he always, always will be with us, because the good shepherd is faithful. He is a faithful companion on the journey of life. See, he won't leave us at the first sign of trouble or difficulty, will he? His goodness and love follow after us. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And Psalm 23 reflects this. And it's designed for us, God's sheep, the sheep of God's pasture, to feed upon, to ruminate upon, to chew over, to meditate upon, to take in the truths it contains into our very souls so that we may be refreshed. See, in committing Psalm 23 to memory even, we are able to dwell in those green pastures wherever we may go, we can experience the stillness of those waters wherever we may find ourselves. And this is a wonderful truth that we can experience. But we need to be led. We need to be led into those places. We need to walk and follow our shepherd into those places. And it is then that we are able to participate in God's very own nature. And he's so generous in this that he gives us all the means that we need. He provides the way of Jesus for us to follow in. And so that when he calls us to be holy as he is holy, it is actually possible to experience and participate in his divine nature in that degree. Jesus said we will experience trouble in this world, and it is true, we know this, but we are not to fear. We're not to be laid to siege by those dark forces that we see in our world. He said he will remain with us all the days of our lives, and that we will one day be reunited fully with Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And that's God's invitation, isn't it? That he will continue to prepare us for that day. And it begins now. We will one day be fully reunited with him forever. And Jesus, the Good Shepherd, is saying he goes on before us to prepare that place for us. So the question that I'd like for us to think about and pause with is this: what is it that he's calling you and I into today? Because it's not just for the future, it is for us to be realized in this day. What is it that you need from him, the provision that he is able to give you? In the Gospel of John, Jesus says about himself that he is the gate and he is also the shepherd of the sheepfold. And he says that what he does is he lays his life down on behalf of us, the sheep. And so in knowing that, he then asks us also that we might lay our own lives down before him. So today and from this day forward, how will it be that we lay aside our own agendas, our own way of going about life, and embrace that place of goodness that God has for us, so that we may be able to say that his goodness and love follow us all the days of our lives, and that we too will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. As we close now, I just wonder if there has been something in particular that has resonated with you as you've sat and meditated upon the Word of God, and if it's spoken to you in such a way that you may want to join with someone else in prayer. That's what we do. We, as we've said, we read the Scriptures together, but we also pray with and for one another. And so we always like to make that opportunity for anyone that would like to stand with others and be prayed for and prayed with. And that's the invitation as we close now, that we would feel free to do that, that we would be emboldened to do that, and that we would also know the blessing of God as we go from this place. I pray that as we share with one another around tea and coffee, that you'll continue to speak words of life to one another, and I speak the blessing of God over you as we go. Amen. Amen. Bless you.